The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you looking for more customers for your business? Are you facing new competitors, not just across town, but across the country? How about across borders? How about worldwide? Welcome to Global Reach with your host, Tay Revez. As new technology makes it easier to connect with your customers, it also makes it easier for international competitors to reach them. Our program will help you stay competitive in a tough marketplace. Now, here's your host, Tay Revez.
Welcome back to Global Reach, the show that helps your business find opportunities, manage risks, and develop strategies for winning in world markets. This week, we are talking TED, that is technology, entertainment, and design, under the slogan of Ideas Worth Spreading. Started in 1984, TED Talks spread widely throughout the U.S., the business and academic communities. But it took TED 25 years to reach France. And my guest today, IT investor and entrepreneur Didier Chamberthaud, who championed TED's introduction in France, is going to tell us why it took so long and what is the vast potential that he sees that TED Talks have for global businesses. He's being joined by my partner and friend, Stéphane Rosenbaum, head of Hervé Conseil, Paris-based consulting firm. We're also going to talk about how successful international companies are integrating TED Talks into their training, communication, and strategic planning, the challenges that Didier faced in bringing TED to France, and the impact that TED is having on that country's business environment and its rising generation of executives and entrepreneurs. So Didier, Stéphane, welcome to Global Reach, and thank you for calling in from France tonight.
Yeah, hello.
Good evening. Bienvenue.
Good evening. Thank you for inviting me.
So, Didier, tell us more about TED and what's in it for our business audience. Why should they be listening to us?
Okay. First of all, you said in your short presentation that it took 24 years to reach France. Actually, TED started out in California. It was only an event in one single spot. And then only later on, I think around 208 or 209, it started as a series of events called TEDx's. And these TEDx's started in the States only then, say in I think it was in 208. And then it started to spread outside the U.S., worldwide, and it reached France in 209. That's for the time it took to reach France. But actually, it's right that it took a little longer to reach France because, surprisingly enough, we still speak French in France, and TEDx's are mainly known because they are recorded and the videos are mostly in English worldwide.
Well, I have to disagree with you slightly because I heard my first TEDx talk, believe it or not, in my high school, and that was in about 2001. So
yeah, well,
we could spread here a little faster. So, Didier, just quickly for our audiences as a teaser, what's the vast potential of use that you see for TEDx?
Well, the first use, I think, is more or less academic. Students, teachers use TED videos because they find interesting content cheap, it's free, and interesting because the people who talk at TED are really independent and They give accounts of their work. They give good business examples sometimes. But they are not ads. They really are dedicated to very high-value content. And therefore, when you prepare a course, a class, when you're a teacher, it's a good idea to take a look at what TED has done in the area you are teaching. And students as well are very fond of it.
Stefan, hang on a second. Stefan, you head up a company. You're the one who came up with the idea that I should do a show about TEDx. As an international business consultant, why did you want me to bring TEDx on the show?
Well, I think because TEDx started, as Didier pointed out, quite recently in France, but it has started to spread around in an amazing way, because at the beginning it was very mysterious. But gradually it started going from one person to the other, you know, like a kind of a secret, something a bit confidential and secret. And suddenly, it was very attractive to people. People wanted really to share that. And that's the way, actually, I fell into that much later than Didier did, because he has really been a starter on that, and I've been much more a follower. But I've been amazed to see how much, as Didier points out always, there are these three great assets for professional people to go through TED, which are the content, the network, and the training to communicate in an efficient way. And all of this is obviously very, very, very valuable for international companies and also local companies willing to switch international. Because basically all of this doesn't make only a tool or a way to communicate, or all of this together really brings a kind of a culture. And this is very interesting, because you see that people are interested by this culture, and when you manage to attract them in this culture, it's a great way to make organizations and people get closer to each other and willing more to share things and to build together.
Okay, so before we continue, and I know, TJ, when you and I talked, you gave me some great examples of how companies are really integrating TED Talks as a tool in their businesses. I want to tell our audience a little bit more about you. TJ is a licensee, curator, and mentor of various TEDxes. He views public speaking as a basis for personal and managerial development. He has served as a CEO in large organizations, and he's been a management consultant for at least 30 years. He is the co-owner and founder of the software startup Vintech and the book publisher Alcatel Editions. Since 2010, he's been a consultant and business mentor for public organizations and international corporations such as TechNip, KPMG, AB, and DDA teaches negotiations and sales strategy at IFA METS. He is a visiting speaker at ISTEC and INSEEK and HEC. His experience includes handling private acquisitions in the postal industries of France and Luxembourg. And he's been CEO of the IT firm Euroware Business and a business unit head at KPMG. He graduated from ESCP Europe and has an MBA from Georgia State University. Stefan Rosenwald is the founder and CEO of Hervé Conseil Real Value Consulting, a Paris-Tunis-based consultancy focusing on competitiveness, strategy, and market intelligence. He specializes in corporate strategy, business models, revolutions, and value creation and business development, entrepreneurship, and change management. As an entrepreneur since 1998, he has led small and medium-sized enterprises in the U.S. and Europe, and he has an MBA also from ESCP Europe. He's the founder of its Alumni Intelligence Economique Strategy Group, and he has contributed to a number of books on entrepreneurship and business intelligence. He's the co-author of The Risk Manager and Business Intelligence, and co-founder and coach of Risk Manager's Permanent Workshop on Business Intelligence. He also teaches at several business schools and universities across Europe and Africa. He's a frequent speaker at international conferences and has been a partner on a number of Global Reach projects. So welcome both of you again to Global Reach Winning in World Markets.
Thanks a lot again.
Didier.
Thank you very much.
I'm so glad you're both here. Didier, how did you first encounter TEDx?
Yes, and that's, I'm going to tell you that story because it's true and it's a bit funny for me. And this will give an answer to your original question: what's in it for the business community? And there is a second idea about what's in it for the business community. So first thing, how did I encounter TEDx? Actually, I was the owner of a small group of small companies in Eastern France. I had made a major acquisition at my level, and I decided, sadly, to terminate most of this business. So yeah, I sold part of it, and I terminated another part of it. So I was actually looking for new ideas. And one of my friends with whom I was talking about the thing that I was looking about, new business, new ideas, new projects, sent me a couple of links towards TEDx. And I found two videos about they were professors giving accounts of their research in behavior, mainly business behavior. Found it very, very interesting, and I decided to dig into it. But also, I realized that I didn't know anything about TED. So I asked myself, is it in France? And actually, it was already just beginning in France. And shortly after, that's actually 2 or 3 days later, I took a train, night train, and traveled to the other part of the country, to Biarritz, where that's the southwestern part of France. And I was there. I was attending my first TEDx. Actually, to be honest with you, at first I wondered, what am I doing there? I've been traveling all night for what? Just conferences. I've done that before. What's new for me? And I was very surprised because those conferences were very impactful, very short, and the short format actually was important to deliver something impactful. And I was very interested by the content. It was about peace, and I was undergoing a major conflict. And some of the talks were about, how do you end war? How do you make peace? You know, this is very basic, but sometimes it happens in business as well. And I was trying to end a big war, a big conflict. And I met, not only did I listen to the conferences, which was very interesting again, but I also met with the talkers, because in a TEDx, usually you only have a few hundred people. You can almost, it's a whole day sometimes, so you can meet almost everyone. So I met with the people who were giving the talks, and that gave me ideas, actually. And in turn, I became a mediator, and that's how I also started to teach negotiation and so on. That was a new business, a new activity that started, that originated for me at this very first TEDx. So that's my first answer.
So TEDx helped you start a new business and end a legal conflict?
Actually, yes. It was about, for me in my case, it was how am I going to terminate those conflicts? What am I going to take out of this very difficult period? And I became a mediator, and I learned many new things, and I now integrate this new activity in other activities, and I share it with other people because I teach that too. And so actually, the point is TED and TEDx is very inspirational, really. You can listen. It didn't really change my life. It's commonplace to say, well, TED changed my life. It actually didn't change my whole life. But it surely gave me some inspiration and some morale to go with this new inspiration.
So what exactly inspired you to bring TEDx to France?
That's the second
well,
part, because at the same time, I found that it was really the idea of giving a talk, in a room with a couple of hundred people is not something entirely new to us or to anyone today. Even if you make videos of that, this is not really very new. But actually, the way people behave, the way they interact, the way the talkers are actually prepared, the person who organized that first TED for me was actually an American woman who had started her own business in South France. And she had the previous experience of TED and TEDx in California. And she brought in her experience. And actually, I found this was very professional. Very professional. And at the same time, the content, as I said previously, was very authentic. And that's what I thought was really interesting. It was not the traditional, politically correct talk that was normally given in a given subject. It was really people were, speaking out not only out of their brains, but also at the same time out of their guts. It was about rationality.
Now that's interesting.
And at the same time, emotions. And that was new. And that was what decided me to try and do it in my own town.
Guts, brains, and emotion. On that note, we've got to go to break now. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Don't go away, because we're going to find out what were some of the unique challenges about introducing TED to France.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Need to hold focus groups in 7 countries or interview doctors in 57? Global Reach can get it done. Trying to expand into new markets, Global Reach will help you assess the opportunities, scope out the competition, and understand the risks. We are a strategic business intelligence firm with a network spanning over 60 countries. We can support your clinical trial recruitment campaign or identify the best practices to use when global branding. Founder and former editor of Business International, Tay Revez, brings 30 years of experience in helping companies from financial service to high tech to healthcare. She was cited by Super Searchers as one of the top 12 primary researchers within the U.S. Tay excels at in-depth interviews, custom multi-country studies, and out-of-the-box challenges. She's also been a featured speaker on subjects as diverse as baby boomers and co-branded credit cards. Let us help you with your next project. We'll work closely with you to define your needs and determine actionable solutions. Please contact us at globalreach-sbi.com or call 212-877-8616.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Global Reach with Tay Revez. If you have a question or comment about our program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you can send an email to trr@globalreach-sbi.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the second segment of Global Reach. I'm your host, Tay Revez, and I am here with my guests, Didier Chamberthaud and Stéphane Rosenwald, both calling in from France, and we are talking TED, Technology, Entertainment, and Design, and How It Is Changing Business. So when we went to break, we were saying that TED really addresses the brain, the guts, and the heart. Stefan, is that the same experience you've had?
Well, a bit different, actually, because I remember the first time I joined a TED conference, I wasn't prepared at all. I had never heard of that, almost. So I just dropped in a TED conference, and I found it strange at first. I was a bit confused because I wondered, well, what all of this is useful for? Because you have a kind of different people coming in and speaking of different things, and a kind of a show, and trying also being professional, and kind of a mixture. At first, I found it really strange and funny. And then after a while, I realized that, in fact, it was very smart. But just giving this example, I want to point out that it's not so much part of French culture to some extent, because it's a kind of a mixture of, as I said, serious talk and also a kind of a show and being obliged also to have this format of very short talks, which is not very much in the French culture. Very often when you want to say something serious, you are going to spend a lot of time explaining and so on. But there you have only a few minutes. So it's a bit, at first, surprising and disturbing. And after that, I started realizing that, in fact, it was very powerful. I started realizing that through this format, actually, it was possible, as I said earlier, really to share a kind of a culture which was building very strong links between people and giving the opportunity to spread ideas around. First of all, in a very powerful way, not only in terms of quantity, but also in terms of quality. And I really came across this understanding that through TED, it was possible really, on one side, to acquire great knowledge, but also to spread your knowledge around in a very efficient way.
That's really interesting, Stefan. Let me ask Didier something. Didier, you said that TED's introduction to France was an example of the way the French culture both integrates and resists initiative related to the global economy and society. What did you mean by that?
Well, as Stefan just mentioned, there is a strong cultural aspect in this. And I would point out the way education in France traditionally doesn't stress the importance of verbal expression. Really, the traditional education in France is organized towards writing. The examinations are mainly in writing. And you're not supposed, during a good part of your time at school, you're not supposed to speak, really. You answer questions.
Really?
You show that you... Yeah, well, it's really part of the classical education. I'm not saying it's always like that and every school is the same. I'm saying that traditionally, even when you are a student, you are required to listen, be quiet, and express your ideas by writing your answers. Sometimes, of course, you can give an exposé, but it's much less than in the American culture that I can compare a little bit. And so when you were a beginner in a TEDx or in any other event where you are required to speak, you're dead with stage fright. Stage fright is really something strong. And when I help some of the speakers, younger ones, They are really, really, they have difficulties to jump into it.
Let me interject something here, because people have done surveys, and people's
right.
fear of public speaking usually is number two on the list, with number one being dying in an airplane crash. So I think stage fright is a fairly universal fear.
I agree with you, but there is nothing in our education to really help alleviate that stage fright. We are not actually basically prepared, except in some circumstances. And even in those special schools, I wouldn't say it's a good preparation for the kind of authentic show talks that I was talking about. I'm referring to some schools, political schools, for instance, or business schools, where, of course, you are required as an examination to give a talk. But it's something very formalized. It has not much to do with the exercise of a TEDx. And even when I deal with people who've been through those schools, believe me, they are not very prepared for the kind of exercise that a TEDx really is. And on the other hand, when the talkers are very experienced, sometimes professionals, sometimes politicians or very senior business people, they think they know it all. And actually, they tend to deliver the usual talk, and that's not what we want. We want real experience, real new things. It's a bit like you in your business. We don't want to hear the conventional talk that they give to their partners, to their colleagues, to their employees. We want some direct emotional experience, and that also has to be prepared. And even though these people are very experienced, they are not prepared to do that. So that's really, believe me, I do that now when I have a TEDx and even for some other events. This part of our culture, our education, is not really something that prepares us for a TEDx. There are other parts of our education that help us in the TEDx. For instance, our classical education tends to be very structured. So if you take someone, let's say a scientist, if you ask him to give a show, believe me, it's going to be very well structured. It's not going to be very emotional. And then you have to prepare this person for that kind of aspect of his show. But he's going to be very structured with a beginning, with examples, a strong demonstration. But that is the traditional way we give conferences in our culture, and it is more oriented towards the brains than the emotions. If you want, I can give you an anecdote.
Okay.
It's not a French person. He is a Belgian. He's a very, very experienced scientist. He has led researches all around Europe. He has been in congresses around the world. He's a neuroscientist. He talks about the brain. And to prepare his talk, it was my first TEDx. I was invited in Belgium, and I stayed 2 days with him. And every word, every sentence he was uttering to prepare this talk, he turned and he picked a book from his library. And he said, well, you should read that because this is very important for what we are saying. So it took us hours and hours to structure the one message that we wanted. And finally, he did it, and I tried to help him give his impressions, his personal feeling about things, and he revealed a lot of things to me at the time. It was very interesting to do that exercise together. And he did his 12-13 minute talk at TEDx La Défense in Paris, and afterwards he said to me, Didier, this was a great experience. I've been in congresses. I've been giving speeches and conferences for hours. This was the most impressive experience that I have had. And it was only 13 minutes.
That's really interesting. Well, short speech, strong impact. It sounds better than a long, boring speech.
Yeah.
Didier, you recently were involved in putting on a TEDx in one of the French universities. Did you encounter the same kind of thing?
Yes, and I started out this when I answered your first question by saying that don't forget the content. And the people who are, number one, interested by TEDx's are professors and students. Not only, of course, fortunately. But that starts out by the content. And, of course, universities, business schools, for instance, top, they were like the others. They thought that they knew it all.
But we were in school.
They realized that something was happening with TED. And to give you another anecdote, this is not this is a new thing. That's not a TEDx that has been done. It's in preparation at the moment. It's going to be held in Paris in February. This business school, especially well, their specialization is marketing and marketing new tendencies. And there's a professor there who helped me in other TEDx's, and he asked me to help, in turn, to help his students preparing a TEDx, but not like the others, not a TEDx organized by the students. This is a TEDx which is part of the program, of the learning program. So they do their research. They meet with entrepreneurs, with market makers, tendency makers, and whatnot. And then they make papers on that. They have professors who help them understand the new tendencies. And then there is a board that selects the best new tendencies. It's going to be about 10 to 12. And out of those 10 to 12, we will make a program for a TEDx, a dedicated TEDx within this university, within this school. And the talkers will be prepared by myself and by the students in accordance with the work that they will have done before with these people that they will find themselves. And the uniqueness, at least for us, maybe it's been done in the States or elsewhere, I'm not sure. But for us in France, I think it's the first time that a school integrates the idea of a TEDx within their learning program, within the teaching program. And I think this is a tremendous idea. I'm very proud of and very happy to do it.
Wow. So, really interesting. So you're really changing, as we say, this new rising generation of entrepreneurs and executives. Didier.
Yeah.
What are some of the ways that large companies are using TED as a tool to improve their own businesses? We've got about 2 minutes to break, so we'll take one example and then we'll come back to it.
Okay. This is an example, and I have a few examples. I'm not the only one, because I wouldn't be presented like the only one TEDx organizer in France. There are many others. I wasn't the first. But we all find the same thing. Our sponsors or our visitors, being managers, sometimes CEOs of a company, we never know because, they don't always give their business card when they are there in the audience. They come to see you at the end, or they call you afterwards and say, "Well, I was very interested by what you said." And the last time that something like that happened to me was a very large, very international company in the auditing services. I'm not supposed to mention them. They came to me. They helped us by sponsoring our first event. And 2 years later, because it takes time in those big companies, they organized an event, company event, not at all a public event, not a TED event. But the top manager told me, "Well, you know, I was very impressed by the TEDx way of doing things. Why wouldn't you come with us and help prepare our own managers to express themselves in the way you prepare your talkers, your TEDx talkers?" And actually, I did that several times because storytelling and the way, the guidelines that we use at TEDx, which is not, I think, by a long way, a tough methodology. It has also a lot to do with the way you interact with your person. It's more directing. It's more coaching. But there are guidelines. So I had the opportunity to practice them within that big company. And the last event I'm thinking about was held 10 days ago. It was a big success. The chairman of the company called me later and said, well, I've never seen things like that within our company. How did you do that? You should come to me because
you know what?
I didn't feel very at ease.
I want to know how you did that. We got to go to break now. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Need to hold focus groups in 7 countries or interview doctors in 57? Global Reach can get it done. Trying to expand into new markets, Global Reach will help you assess the opportunities, scope out the competition, and understand the risks. We are a strategic business intelligence firm with a network spanning over 60 countries. We can support your clinical trial recruitment campaign or identify the best practices to use when global branding. Founder and former editor of Business International, Tay Revez, brings 30 years of experience in helping companies from financial service to high tech to healthcare. She was cited by Super Searchers as one of the top 12 primary researchers within the U.S. Tay excels at in-depth interviews, custom multi-country studies, and out-of-the-box challenges. She's also been a featured speaker on subjects as diverse as baby boomers and co-branded credit cards. Let us help you with your next project. We'll work closely with you to define your needs and determine actionable solutions. Please contact us at globalreach-sbi.com or call 212-877-8616.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Global Reach with Tay Revez. If you have a question or comment about our program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you can send an email to trr@globalreach-sbi.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to our third segment of Global Reach, Winning in World Markets. I am here with my guests, Didier Chambertot and Stefan Rosenwald, and we are talking about how a major global accounting firm, audit firm, incorporated TED into its training and communications. And Didier, when we went to break, you were just about to tell us how you did this.
Yeah, but just, spending some time with the talkers. Well, the way I do it is I spend sometimes a lot of time reading their books or just in conversation with them. You know, Chris Anderson, who chairs the Sapling Foundation, that is the holding, the foundation that owns the TED brand, says it's a conversation. TED and TEDx are part of a global conversation. So actually, what I do is I, just like we are doing now, it's a conversation, just not very formal. And then little by little, we try to understand, because in a short time, in 15 minutes, you can only deliver one big, strong idea. We try to understand what is the one message. And Believe me, when you work with intellectuals, scientists, auditors, managers of all sorts, they have lots of ideas.
And absolutely.
They are very structured. They can give you many things, many ideas in very subtle ways. But your problem is that you only have 15 minutes and you want it to be absolutely clear. So one big idea. That takes half of the time. Once you have the one idea, then you try to make a structure out of it, which owes a lot to storytelling. So we tend to point towards personal experiences. Sometimes we try to help them give their private feelings, which is not very easy. Rational people are sometimes very hard about giving their feelings. It's not very natural for them. And basically, they work on their talks. They write it or they don't write it. Most of the time, they write it. But some cannot write their talk. They try to improvise. And I make sure that it sounds at least authentic.
You know,
I want myself to be convinced before we go live. And then it's a question of rehearsing, drilling, and preparing. This is
You know, it's very interesting you talk about storytelling, because in Obama's first successful campaign, that's how they trained volunteers to go out, and that they're still doing that in terms of advocacy organizations, training people to tell stories as a way of connecting with people. So it's interesting that you use it in the business world. This is something that we're seeing a lot of. I was at a conference in Washington in the spring, and one of the sessions was on storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, as we see this, how much is business actually embracing this idea of storytelling, moving a little bit away from the cold, hard facts and the numbers and the statistics?
Yeah, I will let Stéphane answer that one too. But in my experience, being in business or not in business, storytelling is only natural. We all like stories. Only in meetings, most of the time it's very boring because people think that it's smart not to give stories. But it works. Even in sales or in marketing, look at advertising. It's using storytelling. It's been using it for ages. It's there already. Before maybe Stéphane answers that one, I must add something here. We have had a few years ago, I'm not going to give the name of that person because I want to be aggressive, but one researcher in France was very much against storytelling because it took the side of saying that storytelling is more or less lying. And his idea was that storytelling had been used by the consultants of George Bush, for instance, and Nicolas Sarkozy at the same time, to give wrong stories about a situation that they didn't know really about, but they only wanted the people to go along their politics. And I'm mainly referring to the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. And actually, in the end, these stories, some of these stories, were proved wrong. And
yeah.
So the researcher pointed out that it is a bad way of misleading people. To tell a story in French means actually lying. And I think it's more or less the same in English, I believe.
Well,
so, but there are true stories. There are authentic stories, I think, that are very good, even in business.
I think there's a difference between the story and what we might call in English the tall tale,
mm-hmm.
which truly is exaggeration and departs considerably from the truth. You know, my 50-foot trout that I caught.
Okay. What do you think, Stéphane, about storytelling in business?
Well, I will tell you a story. A time ago, once upon a time, some time ago, I was invited to speak in a new conference in Tel Aviv about technology transfer. Oh, it's a very serious topic, and I prepared my speech in a very serious way, so I had a kind of a huge presentation with a lot of tables, with a lot of very smart and wise and interesting topics. But I think at the end, it's very boring, I guess. And fortunately, a couple of days before this trip to Tel Aviv, I was invited by Didier to participate in the TED. And that was a TED where I really understood what it was about. And from the inspiration I got during this TED conference, I just decided to rebuild completely my presentation in another way. And instead of explaining in a very boring way what was technology transfer and what were the figures of technology transfer between countries and Israel and France and so on, I just told the story around the way you can manufacture wine. And then I came to the point that actually in Israel, all the best wines, which are now already very good, are going through French oak barrels. So this was a very nice example of technology transfer. And telling this story around wine, the way you manufacture wine and so on, I'm sure it was much more impactful to people listening to me. And at the end, I also told a lot of other things, but at the end, a lot of people came to me and said, oh, your speech was great, I love your example and so on. Because I managed to bring some content which was important for them and which was speaking to them directly. So I think basically the interest of storytelling is that it rises the interest of people, which means that they are opening their ears, they are opening their mind, their brain, and their heart, which means that the story puts them in a position where they will accept to receive something from you in a much more positive way. And second, the effect of the story is that if it is a nice story, they will remember the story forever. So it means that as your message is embedded in the story, it means that the message is going to remain in their mind also forever, which makes it very interesting.
So the story as a way to engage. And when you talk about a story in the TED context, we're not just talking about words, but images as well. I want to shift a little bit, and I want to look at the impact that TED is having on the French business climate. In recent years, we've seen, in fact, in the last decade, we've seen France's overall competitiveness slip seriously. The INSEAD 2013 Les Etats de France, State of France report, parallel studies by the World Economic Forum and the IMD, all found that France's competitiveness seriously declined. I think in the WEF Global Competitiveness Index, it slipped from 15th place down to 23rd. So can TEDx help France and French companies regain their international competitiveness? Didier, why don't you start?
Yeah, I would agree with that globally, sadly. But you are talking on average. And be careful of the average. There are very distinctive groups in France, and the ones who are interested in TEDx, for instance, are startups. And startups, have been listening to the business radio this morning, are supposed to be. There are several studies showing that. For starters, France is becoming one of the countries who are the most attractive. In my experience, startups are really people who can be influenced and positively influenced and inspired, as I have been myself, by what's going on in TED, because they are looking for new tendencies. They are very they are the forefront of in their field mostly, but they're always interested in new things, new finance, new markets, new whatever.
Yeah.
New ideas. And these guys, believe me, in France as well, and possibly more than in other countries, now that TEDx, it's not because of TEDx, but it's partly, it has an influence, I think, they are very much interested by what's going on in those groups. One of the things that I didn't mention, Stefan mentioned it, TED is a network. And the people in TED, in TEDx's and so on, are not only French. They are part of the network, like in any other network. And they, you know, as soon as I started TED, I've never been to India, and I have many friends in India and in Brazil as well. And because of that, and because we have common interest, because we like such and such videos, and because we have done such and such talk, we might as well have friends in other countries. It's not because startupers, for instance, are looking for new businesses or new partners in a given country. It's because they volunteer content and friendship, if I may say, via the TED network, because they share common values that lay in time can develop their business in other countries. I think really you have to view not only TED as an event, TEDx as an event, not only the videos that provide content to the world, spreading ideas, that's the idea, the baseline, but also you have to see TED and TEDx as a gigantic network with high-value content. And some people in France have understood that and are really part of it. And they are part of initiatives as within TED, in the World Initiative. They are really contributing. And so although you might have, and it is true, sadly, that the general business environment is a bit depressed, has been continuously depressed for years, there are people who actually innovate, change, look out what's going on, and they are the same also who can get expatriate and go in another country. But, you know, they are this kind of people. And there are also entrepreneurs, and these entrepreneurs are likely, I believe, to be interested in TED and TEDx.
So here we have got about a minute and a half left to the show. Believe it or not, we are almost out of time. One sentence, Didier, what's been the biggest value of TED to your company, to Hervé Conseil? One sentence. And then, Didier, what's the biggest value of TED overall?
TED is energy. So I think that putting the values of TED inside one organization puts dynamism, puts moving, sharing, and going forward. So all of this is obviously very positive inside of an organization.
Okay, that was 30 seconds. DDA, 30 seconds. I'm sorry, but I've got the engineer signaling me.
Okay. It's about ideas to change the world. It's inspiration. And inspiration in a conversation, as I said, that brings new actions. Even when we are in a depressed state, action is the key. And TED allows people to take action.
Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
I think this has been really inspirational. Energy, ideas, storytelling, action, global mindset. Does that sum it up?
Very good.
And it helps communication. Listen, Didier and Stefan, thank you both for coming on this show.
Thank you.
Next week, Deb Baxley of Capgemini Financial Services is going to join us to look at disruption from the bottom of the income pyramid, how Africa is leading the world in mobile financial services innovation. And for my guests, Didier Chambertot and Stefan Rosenfeld, and for myself, and we wish you all great success in extending your global reach. Come back next time.
Thank you for listening to Global Reach with Tay Revez. Please join us again next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.